From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President instruct to improve detections of COVID-19 transmission. Hundreds of Rohingya refugees stranded in Aceh. Now the news in details. Indonesian President Joko Widodo ordered Health Minister Terawan Agus Putranto to plan examination for COVID-19 transmission in Indonesia. President Jokowi said when chairing the cabinet meeting on health management and national economic recovery in 2021 at the State Palace, Jakarta on Monday regarding COVID-19 testing, the Ministry of Health will make a really good planning design. President Jokowi said he did not want to see a large disparity between provinces in terms of COVID-19 testing. I want the health minister to plan comprehensively to detect which areas are still high in cases and which are slopping. The planning design must be comprehensive. We need planning to see how many labs that are in a province, how many regions we must distribute per province, so we can see where the positive cases are. President Jokowi said that the government prioritized public health issues during the COVID-19 pandemic. If the health problems are handled properly, the national economy will also improve and recover to a positive economic growth trend. President Jokowi Dodo wants to reach 30,000 tests per day. However, due to limited medical equipment, only 28,000 tests can be taken per day. A total of 297 Rohingya refugees, 14 of them are children, are stranded in Aceh coast, specifically at Ujong Blang Beach, Banda Sakti Subdistrict, Lok Sumawe City on Monday morning. They were rescued by fishermen and pulled to a shore. Lok Sumawe Navy Commander Lieutenant Colonel M. Dimi Omri told RRI that all refugees are sheltered and in healthy condition. Lok Sumawe Regional Leaders Communication Forum, Forkopimda, and Task Force have held a meeting on the matter. They will be moved to a shelter in Lok Sumawe to be dealt with by the Task Force and the United Nations Refugee Agency, UNHCR. Meanwhile, the head of the Lok Sumawe City Red Cross, Junaidi Yahya, explained that currently the refugee had been evacuated to a temporary shelters at the Lok Sumawe Work Training Center, BLK, building. The staff of UN High Commissioner of UNHCR Lok Sumawe, Loktina, escorted by AFP, stated that at least the refugees have been 6 months on the ocean. It was reported that 30 people died on the way and had been thrown out to the sea. At least 800 Rohingya refugees sailed from Cox's Bazar, Bangladesh, earlier 2020, to seek asylum in other Southeast Asian countries. Indonesian Minister of Trade Agus Suparmanto welcomed well the Government of India's decision to free Indonesian single-mode optical fiber SMOF products from Safeguard Entry Customs Import BMTP. In a written statement issued on Monday, escorted by Antara News Agency, Minister Agus Suparmanto explained that this is a good opportunity amid a pandemic because the export of these products to India is widely open again. Exporters must be able to wisely take advantage of the opportunity to boost Indonesia's optical fiber export to India. The BMTP release was decided by the Director General of the Trade Remedies, DGTR India, based on the final findings reports on the safeguard investigation, which was released at the end of August. Director General of Trade Remedies India, in its final report, proposed the application of the safeguard obligation of 10% to all countries, except developing countries, with an import share of below 3%. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Taiwan authorities stated they are ready to play an active role in global solidarity in facing the COVID-19 pandemic, some of which was demonstrated by donating personal protective equipment to more than 80 countries, including Indonesia. Josiah Joseph Wu, a high official of Taiwan Foreign Ministry, on Tuesday, as reported by Taiwan Economic and Trade Office for Indonesia, TITO, stated that as of the end of June this year, Taiwan has donated 51 million medical masks, 1.16 million N95 masks, 600,000 isolation gears, 35,000 thermometers, and other medical equipment to more than 80 countries, including Indonesia. Joseph Wu said that his party is also cooperating with several countries to develop COVID-19 rapid test kits, drugs, and vaccine. Compared to other countries in Asia, Taiwan is quite successful in controlling the spread of COVID-19 thanks to the high number of active examination and tracking of positive patients and suspects. COVID-19 pandemic has infected people in more than 200 countries and territories. Therefore, Wu said that the world community needs to increase cooperation in dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. He concluded, the international community needs to make more concerted efforts than ever before to build a better and more sustainable future. Taiwan is ready, willing, and able to participate in these joint efforts. The Australian state at the center of the country's second wave coronavirus outbreak is deepening its contact tracing program to try to maintain a steady decline in daily new cases amid criticism of its handling of the crisis. As reported by Reuters.com on Tuesday, Victoria's state, home to a quarter of Australia's 25 million population, recorded 55 new COVID-19 cases in the 24 hours to Tuesday morning. That was up from the previous day's 41 new cases, but far below a record daily increase of 725 a month ago. The Victoria's outbreak, it now accounts for about 75% of Australia's nearly 26,400 cases and 90% of its 770 deaths, has brought the most visible rift between the state government and Australia's federal government over the country's handling of the pandemic, which has included an emergency cabinet of leaders from both levels of government. State Premier Daniel Andrews reintroduced tough movement restrictions in the state capital Melbourne in early August, including a nightly curfew, as most other states and territories relaxed lockdown measures. The World Health Organization, WHO, is in talks with India about the country's plans to join the COVAX vaccine scheme. WHO senior advisor Bruce Aylward on Monday said, India is eligible to be part of COVAX facilities and discussions are ongoing regarding that. Bruce Aylward added that his party would welcome India's participation in the global vaccine allocation plan COVAX because India has extensive experience in the world of global vaccination.
We, from our side, of course, would welcome very much the participation of India as a full member in the COVAX facility, both in terms of its extensive experience in vaccines, extensive experience in working together on the global scene in terms of childhood vaccination, other vaccines. India is an incredibly important player.
India's Health Minister, Dr. Harsh Vardhan, last month said India's first vaccine against the coronavirus could be available at the end of this year. Some 76 wealthy countries have committed themselves to joining the global COVID-19 vaccine allocation plan co-led by the World Health Organization. This program aims to help buy and distribute vaccine fairly. Seth Berkley, chief executive of Gavi Vaccine Alliance, said the coordinated plan known as COVAX is now supported by Japan, Germany, Norway, and more than 70 other countries. In principle, they agreed to get the COVID-19 vaccine through the COVAX facilities for their people. Japan's economy sank deeper into its worst post-war contractions in the second quarter as the coronavirus jolted businesses more than initially thought, underscoring the daunting task the new prime minister faces in averting a steeper recession. As reported by Reuters.com on Tuesday, others' data put that challenge in perspective with household spending and wages falling in July as the broadening impact of the pandemic kept consumption frail even after lockdown measures were lifted in May. The world's third largest economy shrank an annualized 28.1% in April to June, more than a preliminary reading of 27.8% contraction. Revised gross domestic products GDP data showed on Tuesday, suffering its worst post-war contraction. The record drop roughly matched a median market forecast of a 28.6% contraction in a Reuters poll. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Illiteracy Eradication Improves Welfare. Today, September 8, is commemorated by the world as International Literacy Day. Since 1967, every year, International Literacy Day has been commemorated to remind people of the importance of literacy as a matter of human dignity and rights. UNESCO notes that there is a progress in efforts to eradicate illiteracy. However, currently at least 773 million adults worldwide still lack basic literacy skills. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Indonesia said that illiteracy rate at the age of 15 to 59 years in Indonesia reaches 1.78% of the total population. When compared with previous years, this figure continues to decline. Director General of Early Childhood Education, PAUD, at the Basic Education and Secondary Education Ministry of Education and Culture, Jumeri said that his side is targeting the achievement of illiteracy by 0% by 2023. The illiteracy must be done, although it has to face challenges. Then what efforts should be carried out and what kind of literacy learning program is effective amid the COVID-19 pandemic? Of course, every country has its own answers and methods. Indonesia has chosen literacy learning in the COVID-19 pandemic momentum for paradigm change as the theme for the commemoration of International Literacy Day 2020. This theme refers to the theme carried out by UNESCO, namely, literacy teaching and learning in the COVID-19 crisis and beyond, with a particular focus on the role of educators and changing pedagogies. Amid the COVID-19 pandemic, various efforts, innovations, and participation must be carried out. If in the period before the pandemic, the introduction of literacy at an early age might be mostly done in early childhood education, PAUD, or kindergartens. However, nowadays, it is mostly done in the family. Parents can use any methods to introduce characters, including through online broadcasts. Of course, with tight supervision. Currently, a lot of children actually recognize characters through broadcasts on the internet. Direct community participation in the eradication of illiteracy in their neighborhood must be further enhanced. One of them is through reading gardens. With the support of the government, of course, the reading gardens in the community will be able to improve their role. In addition to eradicating illiteracy and creating individuals who can read, write, and count, the provision of the reading gardens is one solution to addressing gaps in the distance learning process. The reading gardens can facilitate environmental, characters, and social learnings for children. Of course, health protocols should not be ignored. Based on the awareness that literacy is the right of every human being, illiteracy freedom should be the concern of all stakeholders. The involvement of every individual with any method must be boosted. The government's support for community participation in literacy eradication could be further improved by providing financial assistance, training, and facilities to people who actively contribute to efforts to eradicate illiteracy. So, 0% illiteracy in Indonesia in 2023 can be achieved. In the end, this can improve the welfare of the Indonesian people. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We'll be right back.
do the following to avoid virus infection when you are traveling. Keep your distance. If you see someone unhealthy, please maintain your distance. The minimum safe distance is 1 meter, but if the person is coughing, then the minimum distance is around 3 meters. Wash your hands with soap, especially if you keep interacting with other people. You can also use alcohol-based sanitizer to kill the germs. Cover your mouth and nose with your elbow or tissue when you are coughing or sneezing. If you are using tissue, throw it away immediately and then wash your hands. Avoid direct contact with living animals and any surfaces that had contacted with animals. Avoid consuming raw or half-cooked meat to avoid cross-contamination. Find medical treatment as soon as possible and then share your prior travel history with the health services if you are experiencing any health problems. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. We start from an event on September 1944. The Southeast Asia Defense Pact, or SEATO, is founded. The Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, or SEATO, is an international organization for collective defense signed on 8 September 1954 in Manila, Philippines. The formal SEATO Institute was formed at a treaty partners meeting in Bangkok in February 1955. This organization was established to block the further development of communism in Southeast Asia. The headquarters of this organization are located in Bangkok, Kingdom of Thai. SEATO members are Australia, France, New Zealand, Thailand, Pakistan, the Philippines, and the United Kingdom and the United States. SEATO disbanded on June 30, 1977. It's moving on to September 8, 1967, when International Literacy Day is celebrated for the first time. International or World Literacy Day, commemorated every September 8, is announced by UNESCO on November 17, 1965, as a reminder to maintain the importance of literacy for every human being, community, and society. Every year, UNESCO reminds the international community to always be in learning activities. I'll include Today in History with September 8, 1991, Independence of the Republic of North Macedonia. North Macedonia is a country located on the Balkan Peninsula, southern Europe. The country is bordered by Serbia and Kosovo to the north, Albania to the west, Greece to the south, and Bulgaria to the east. Macedonia celebrated its independence on September 8, 1991, after a referendum was held to either be independent or to continue forming the Yugoslav Federation. Listen, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Semboyan kami angkasawan RRI, sekali di udara tetap di udara semenjak.
Tuhan kami, angkasawan RRI. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti. Patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila.
Revolusi seluruh bangsa Indonesia dengan jiwa kebangsaan yang murni, hati yang bersih dan jujur serta budi yang penuh kecintaan dan kesetiaan kepada tanah air dan bangsa.
Semua yang kami angkasawan RRI. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti. Patuh dan setia.
Aku tak tahu apa yang terjadi antara aku. mencintaimu.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia, entitling Indonesia re-emphasizes equal and equitable access to vaccine at the Foreign Policy and Global Health Meeting. Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Retno Marsudi, chaired the Foreign Policy and Global Health Ministers Virtual Meeting, FPGH-MVM, on Thursday. As quoted on the page kemlu.go.id, at the meeting, Minister Retno said that global cooperation is important to ensure equal and fair access to vaccine. The FPGH meeting was attended by ministers from 6 FPGH member countries, South Africa, Brazil, Norway, France, Senegal, and Thailand. The meeting was also attended by Director General of World Health Organization WHO, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, who delivered a keynote address with the team, the importance of the international cooperation in the health sector. In a press statement that was held virtually on Friday, Minister Retno Marsudi explained that in 1 year holding the chairmanship of FPGH, Indonesia carried the team, Affordable Healthcare for All. The essence of the theme was equal access and affordable prices. According to Minister Retno Marsudi, amid the COVID-19 pandemic, the scheme became very relevant, including in terms of vaccine procurement. Minister Retno Marsudi further explained that in the meeting, she conveyed three key points related to the health sector. First, it's important for global cooperation to ensure equal and equitable access to vaccine. The second point is that it's important to create a strong global health system or governance.
Yang kedua, pentingnya tata kelola.
The second is the importance of governance or strong global health system. FPGH countries must strengthen WHO, especially regarding the ability to carry out early detection and response to future global health challenges. Meanwhile, the last point that was conveyed by Minister Retno was building a strong national health system for each country. She also remarked that a strong global health architecture must be supported by a strong national health system. During the meeting, Minister Retno Marsudi specifically expressed her hope that FPGH can become a motor for strengthening the spirit of international cooperation and collaboration in dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. During its leadership at FPGH, Indonesia succeeded in pushing for the issuance of a joint statement of FPGH countries at the 146th WHO Executive Board meeting regarding the COVID-19 pandemic. In addition, Indonesia had also held and chaired the FPGH Health Minister meeting in May 2020, as well as an interagency meeting equivalent to the BPJS Kesehatan of FPGH countries in June 2020. FPGH was formed in 2007 and consists of 7 members, namely Indonesia, South Africa, Brazil, France, Norway, Senegal, and Thailand. This forum was formed with the aim of promoting the importance of global health issues in the framework of foreign policies. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the new normal. Now, we are facing uncertainties. Uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear a mask everywhere. Always keep your distance when doing activities. And avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Terlalu jatuh cinta padaku.
You still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Cendrawasih Dance from Bali. Cendrawasih Dance is a dance from Bali, created by Balinese artist I. Gede Manik. This dance was firstly performed in the 1920s in Buleleng Regency. Since then, the Cendrawasih Dance has continued to develop with new creations. The latest creation of Cendrawasih Dance is arranged by the choreographer NLN Swasti Wijaya Bandan. In accordance with the name, the Cendrawasih Dance was inspired by Cendrawasih Bird, which means Manuk Dewata in Balinese language. This dance tells a story about a pair of Cendrawasih birds. The bird species is indeed known as cheerful birds, which like dancing and singing when they fall in love. But explicitly, this dance has a philosophical meaning about the beauty of the matchless island of Bali. Cendrawasih Dance is usually performed by two or more female dancers in pairs. Some of the dancers acted as male and female birds. This dance is divided into three stages, namely the beginning called Peperson, the main part called Pengawak, and the last part called Pengipuk. The initial part of this dance begins with the performance of a dancer who acts as a male Cendrawasih bird. All Cendrawasih dancers wear kendang, cloth, crown with crest and gold necklace. Like Balinese dances in general, Cendrawasih dance is accompanied by Balinese gamelan. Our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Hello, listener of Radio Republik Indonesia. My name is Gustavo Ayares, Ambassador of Chile to Indonesia. This is a wonderful opportunity to express our congratulations for the 75th anniversary of the radio. And I hope that in the future will be a wonderful future for the listener, for the community that follow this radio. All the best for you. Blessings.
Ku berjalan menyisir malam dan tak terasa dingin menerpa. Ku berjalan menahan perih dari hati yang telah rapuh. Malam-malamku semakin pilu, entah mengapa asa merajut. Suara hati lirih berdesir menerangkan lara hati. Jangan tanya mengapa bila akhirnya kita terpisah.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a radio lesson on Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language that introduces the vocabulary and guides you to converse in Bahasa Indonesia. This program is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Agency for Language and Book Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is Cara Memasak, or in English, How to Cook. Next, I will give a sample conversation on cara memasak or how to cook.
Makan apa ya?
Bagaimana kalau mie? Apa kamu punya mie instan rebus?
Ada. Apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya?
Tinggal merebusnya di air mendidih saja.
After listening to the conversation earlier, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, cara memasak. Cara memasak, which means how to cook. I will say the sentence twice and you can repeat after me. In the boarding house kitchen, Kevin asrama how to cook instant noodles. Makan apa? Makan apa? Which means, what shall we eat? Mie instan. Mie instan, which means instant noodles. Memasak, memasak, which means to cook. Merebus, merebus, which means to boil. Mendidih, mendidih, which means boiling. Apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya? Apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya? Which means, do you know how to cook it? To ask how to cook certain food. The response that can be given to answer that question is direbus. Direbus, which means it is boiled. Digoreng. Digoreng, which means fried. Dipanggang. Dipanggang, which means roasted. Dikukus. Dikukus, which means steam or other cooking methods. Example: Aku baru membeli telur. Apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya? Aku baru membeli telur. Apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya? Which means I just bought eggs. Do you know how to cook it? Bagaimana kalau kita menggorengnya? Bagaimana kalau kita menggorengnya? Which means, shall we fry it? Another example. Apa kamu tahu cara memasak ayam? Apa kamu tahu cara memasak ayam? Which means, do you know how to cook chicken? Aku pernah memasak ayam. Bagaimana kalau kita memanggangnya? Aku pernah memasak ayam. Bagaimana kalau kita memanggangnya? Which means, I cooked chicken before. Shall we roast it? Apart from using the sentence, apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya? Apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya? Which means, do you know how to cook it? As how to cook, you can also use bagaimana cara memasak or membuat. Bagaimana cara memasak or membuat, which means how to cook or make. If you are asked how to cook something and you don't know how, you can say, maaf, aku tidak tahu caranya. Maaf, aku tidak tahu caranya, which means sorry, I don't know how. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the sample conversation one more time.
Makan apa ya?
Bagaimana kalau mie? Apa kamu punya mie instan rebus?
Ada. Apa kamu tahu cara memasaknya?
tinggal merebusnya di air mendidih saja.
Well, listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We'll meet again tomorrow with another different topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa!
Hello, listeners of Radio Republic Indonesia, wherever you are. I am Armando G. Alvarez, Ambassador of Mexico to Indonesia. I would like to say happy 75th anniversary to Radio Republic Indonesia and send my best wishes to all its members and listeners. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a mellow song entitled Patah Kemudi Sampai Darmansyah Ismail. Composed by Dahlia Kasim Sinar, the song Patah Kemudi tells about how important the role of a captain is, which is badly needed in saving a ship when sailing in the ocean. The song Patah Kemudi has a slow tempo music, and the lyrics contain of some verses of poem, which is sung repeatedly. The song was the first debut of Malay album of Darmansyah in his singing career, and this song also are very memorable in his career in the Indonesian music industry. Let's listen to the song Patah Kemudi, sung by Darmansyah Ismail. Enjoy the song.
Asalkan dah.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.